You are about to enter a great adventure.
This is Starting from Gorilla.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I am Mikey Cash. This is Big Vito, and we are Strutting from Gorilla. We love talking about wrestling, and we are here with you bright and early this morning on a Thursday, right after AEW Big Business, to talk all about the show. Vito and I were in attendance. We had a pretty sweet time with the seats that we had, so we're excited to talk all about it. But first, we wanted to tell you guys that we are so close to hitting that triple digits subscriber mark. So we really hope you guys will like and subscribe. We love interacting with all the fans out there. So please hit that likes button, hit that subscribe button, and let's see if we can make it happen. All right. So without any further ado, Big Business picks up for SFG. Great show last night. Obviously, the debut of Mercedes Moné, which I think all of us and their mother saw this one coming, but it was wonderful nonetheless. Big Vito, I have one question for you. Are you as tired as I am, or am I just the old one of this crew?
No, man. I'm tired too. I'm on the struggle bus here this morning, but you know, it was worth it. We had a great time, and I gotta say, the show is good. It was great to see. And listen, I can't call her Mercedes Sasha. Moné. Like, it's Sasha, and that's probably what I'll continue to call her. So, Sasha, it was great seeing her come back. I feel like we all knew it was going to happen, right? But shout out to the guy at Sullivan's Tap, the guy at the bar. Just random guy, got lots of fan theories of what was going to happen at the show. And, I mean, he wasn't spot on, but he was pretty close, right? Like, I'd say pretty damn close.
He was closer than any one of us. We had a lot of different theories about what was going on. We got to see an old friend of ours. Shout out to the Danimal, friend of the podcast. But yep, we were talking about our theories about what was going to happen with Mercedes. How was she going to be involved in the show? Was she going to open it up? And this guy who, honestly, if for anybody out there who ever saw the 1989 Batman, there's these two robbers on the roof that get their ass kicked by Batman to start off the show. And there's one of them with this like kind of gray sort of winter hat. This guy was a dead ringer for him. So shout out to that guy. If you're listening to this podcast and you look like that guy on Batman who got his ass kicked, congratulations, because you had the closest guess of the night about what was going to happen. It was an amazing prediction. So
yeah, really it was. It was. And, you know, I got to say, we had some sweet seats, huh? We were lucky enough that our fellow podcast member, friend of the podcast, Sarge, was able to connect us with someone who put together this group of guys that went up into a suite. It was Mike's first experience at the Garden, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it changes the atmosphere of the show, and it was great. We felt like royalty for a day, you know?
Absolutely, we did. And like you said, Vito, it absolutely ruined my experience now going to TD Garden, because there's no way now I can't get a suite anytime I go for anything else. Destroying my wallet.
Yeah, not to rub it in people's faces, but more than anything, how nice is it that literally – you literally walk in, you go up an elevator, and you walk for about a minute, and then you're in your seats. Like, it's not like you got to go up the ramp, down the ramp, left, right, up, down, halfway around the arena. It's just an experience. And I highly recommend, if anyone hasn't tried those seats, if you have the opportunity, you know, you really should check it out at least one time. It's a lot of fun. But all right, and enough of the pleasantries here. Let's get right into the show. So what were your — I mean, listen, it was a dynamite, right? And for me, I think you said this and I agree with you, it had a little bit more of a bigger feel, right? It was I don't know. They were promoting it pretty hard. I mean, I feel like we all knew the big thing here was that Mercedes Moné was going to come back. Like, I did it. I called her Mercedes. It was great. You know, obviously they're not going to call her the boss. So they got this new CEO theme. And you brought up a good point yesterday about the music, and I thought it was pretty cool. I'll let you share it because I thought it was a really good point.
So really what I enjoyed about Mercedes' debut is the way that it was structured basically lends itself for people to chant. So I think that's just maybe one thing that maybe Mercedes thought of. Maybe it was Tony Khan, maybe it was a collaboration, but there's definitely been a concerted effort there because I think there was somebody else's music too. And now, like, the wrestler who came out last night, like, is leaving my mind. But basically, I think AEW is trying to get the crowd more involved. It was Will Ospreay. It just came to my head. Wow, same brain. I love that.
Yeah, dude, so crazy.
But he came out and he had a similar style with his music, where it's like it's getting the fans interactive with it. So I think this is a concerted effort by AEW, and one that honestly I welcome. They're trying something new. There's been a lot about AEW recently that I've really enjoyed. They've been changing up a little bit in their presentation. You can tell that they're trying some new things with their camera work. It seems like the quality is a little bit better. Maybe I'm just a big nerd, and so like I'm just kind of trying to pay attention to that stuff, but I've really enjoyed AEW lately, and this show was no different. Like you said, it felt like a bigger show. Like, there were maybe not a major pay-per-view, but it felt like almost like a mini pay-per-view kind of match, kind of show, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like AEW tends to do that, which is kind of nice. I will tell you, it's kind of like a roll of dice with the fans though, because there are some really good Dynamites. And that's the thing that I think is, look, I'm not, I don't want to knock on them too much, but I said this to you last night. Let's continue with the positive, then I'll get to the negative here, right? But I think the positive is that we got a good show. You know, I think we've gone to a Dynamite show. We went to a different arena. It was more challenging to get into. We got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. We were exhausted. It was like a gauntlet. They had AEW Dark. They had Dynamite. They had Rampage. And you're out of there. It was like 12 o'clock by the time we left. And it was a lot. And it's a little bit, it's hard because the way they structure that show, you know, you got the Dynamite, or this time you had Ring of Honor. And, you know, kind of lesser matches. I'm not going to say they were bad matches, but they're almost like dark matches, right? And then you get into the show, and the show builds, and it's usually pretty good, right? It's you got some matches to look forward to, you got some marquee names that you're excited to see, and then it's like it's 11 o'clock, you're tired, and usually you push through that because you'll see something even more exciting. And you know, I think when we went to that first show, the main event of Rampage was Moxley and Wheeler, right? Yuta. And it was I think we all were like excited about that match. So we pushed ourselves and stayed. But like, we couldn't even tell you after they went off the air what the main event of Rampage was, who was wrestling outside of maybe one match. And it was challenging. I mean, we left, we decided to get some extra sleep and left. But I would tell you that's the hard part about that. I don't know how you fix it, or you like maybe you said you just get rid of it. But I thought the show was good for Dynamite. Again, it's still, I don't know what the difference is for me personally, but going to a Raw or a SmackDown, I don't know. You just get this bigger feel, and that's fine. I'm not trying to compare apples to apples here. It's hard not to, but there's just something different. Like, I was even looking, engaging the vibe of our suite with the people who we were with, which all wrestling fans, you could tell. Some of them we had never met. And you could see, like, at the beginning, the Wardlow and the Joe match was good. Everyone's kind of into it. Then there were a couple other matches people were into. But then it was just like everyone was kind of disengaged at certain points, and you could hear the crowd. It wasn't nearly as engaged. And I just feel like you don't get that at a WWE show. And again, I don't want to try and compare the two, Mikey. That's not my goal. But that's all you have. Like, if you're watching the NFL and you're watching the XFL or whatever it is now, you're going to compare the two, no matter, even if they're trying to be different.
I think, well, one, that feel that you're talking about is production value. And I think production value, WWE is probably always going to have the advantage with that. So they know how to create an environment where it does feel big. And not for nothing, even though there's live crowds there, you and I both know when you watch it on TV, they're still piping shit in. So
yeah,
because they want it to, they want to portray a certain feel for every show to entice you to come. Because if you're looking at that, and some people don't know that they do that, people are saying to themselves, wow, I really want to get to this show. But I don't really want to talk about SmackDown or Raw or anything like that. We're here to talk about big business. But I was really impressed with Mercedes' debut. I thought they did a great job of bringing her out first. Don't keep the crowd waiting. Just start it right off. And that crowd was hot for her.
Yeah.
And we got some of the videos up on our TikTok. Check those out. But it was a fantastic debut, I thought. She pulled a good promo. You and I were laughing about some of the things she was saying about, like, why am I here? I think we all know Mercedes is there for the Monet. But you know what? If she can help that women's division, which I think she can, because she brings a certain amount of credibility that nobody else thus far has brought, which is she is a WrestleMania main eventer, okay? You can't minimize something like that. So for all the complaints that people have maybe about her ring work or whatever people have, I think that she is going to elevate that division. And we're already starting to see it. When that card was released just the other day and when we posted about it, what was at the top? Joe versus Wardlow. And by the time we got there for the show last night, who was in the main event? Willow versus Rio. So we're already seeing that they are moving cards around with her on the roster. And maybe that's part of, you know, like I said it last night, that like maybe she's got the Hogan contract, right? Where she's got cash and creative. So good for her if that's what the case is, because she has some say in how this women's division is going to get presented, which is good. And I know that we heard some rumblings in the suite last night about why that match was in the main event. And so not everybody is on board just yet, because they're not used to AEW presenting the women in a strong light on a consistent basis. So I think this is new territory for not just AEW, but for the fans as well.
Yeah, no, I think I mentioned this to you last night. I'm in agreement with you. I think having her, it is a little bit of a bigger draw, and she is one of the four, you know, what is it? The four horsewomen, right? And like, I think the challenge is going to be with AEW is they don't have someone of her caliber on the roster, and they're going to have to build someone like that. Like, the person I would have thought who would have been close would have been Britt Baker, right? But I feel like we haven't seen her. Like, she was hot for a while, and then all of a sudden they just like stopped using her. She wasn't getting the time. So I'm very curious to see how that goes, because I mean, you think about like the Austin effect, right? When Austin was didn't have that star to rival him. Like, they're going to have to build some of these women up. And you can see they're trying to do that with Willow. And I would say that's fine. I think that they could. But I just hope it doesn't bring her status down. Like, because this AEW has, over the course of what we've seen, I know it's a short sample period. They have a very big habit of getting someone in and they're hot, and then it just slowly fades, right? And I hope that doesn't happen with her. But you know, we'll keep the optimism. I will keep it positive. And we'll see what happens. But it was a great debut, you know, in her hometown. You're right, you know, I read the comments here and there, and I was watching some people's comments on the on the feed of the video of her debuting, and man, it is just too funny. Like, listen, you can be a WWE fan and you can be an AEW fan. You do not have to like pick a side. Like, we talked about this. And there's just people who pick sides, and no matter what you do, you're going to get a negative comment. And people are like, were there even people at this show to cheer her? Like, that pop was terrible. And we can tell you firsthand the pop was
that pop was great.
Yeah, it was a good pop. Watch
the video that we posted. It's that's
it was a good pop. And there were people in the crowds. Did it sell at the stadium? No. But it was a decent crowd for AEW. And I thought the show overall was good. It was a good show. I thought Wardlow Joe was actually a good match. Like, I really did not mind that match. I'll give you the Young Bucks match was all right. And I know your boy, the Danimal, is a big Young Bucks guy, and that's fine. Props to you. Props to you. I'm on the opposite spectrum. I'm not a Young Bucks guy, but that's okay. That was a decent match. The Darby match was good. You had a heel turn with the guns, the Bang Bang Gang.
Dude, that spot with Darby where he did the coffin drop and he hit the apron, he hit it like right on his spine. Like, how is this guy going to be? The way he destroys his body, I have no idea how this guy is going to be climbing Mount Everest. This might have been the last time we see Darby Allin. I don't know. He's just...
Did you know? I saw this.
He's reckless.
I saw this morning. Did you know JBL actually climbed Mount Everest?
I did not.
Yeah, there's a picture of JBL... And he climbed Mount Everest, and he had a WWE shirt on, and he had a WWE flag that he stuck at the top. What I would think funny if that WWE flag was still there, which is probably not, if Darby gets up there and he takes it out and puts an AEW flag in, that would be pretty funny.
Oh, my God. People would freak out. If you just imagine if he does that.
Yeah. But no, it was a good match. I mean, it was what it was. It's not like it was his best match. It was an AEW Dynamite match. And I think we knew going in that, for me, I think, and you, we both talked about it. That was a match we were both looking forward to. And it was good. You know, the Jericho match, like...
It was what it was. It was what it was. I think it's really there to try to showcase Hulk more. And in Jericho's own way, he tries to do that. But I think, I don't know. I have issues with the way Jericho kind of approaches stories, but it's neither here nor there. It was a good match. It was fine. I'm happy that Hook is getting some development here too. I mean, he's getting used more. He's starting to actually have promos. So let's see where it goes. I don't want to just poo-poo on it because it's easy to just do that because of my personal feelings towards Jericho, but honestly, I think it could be good for Hook and it could be beneficial for the roster.
Yep. I will also say the promo of the night was Will Ospreay. I thought he gave a great promo. He had some feeling behind it, man. Like I felt him. Like, I think we're all waiting for him to drop an F-bomb while he was going. I think you said it while he was doing it. I mean, it was like one of those off the rail. I think at one point he took the microphone from Tony Schiavone.
And basically
like looked at him like, oh, sorry, man. Like he got into it, which is good. And I don't know much about Will Ospreay. I gotta be honest. Like, so seeing him, you know, I'm curious to see and learn more about him. But you know, he said something in his promo that I think they've been trying to resonate with is restore the feeling. And I think a lot of it is to kind of restore that feeling of when AEW first came in. Like, if you've been a fan or followed us at all, which I hope you have, you know, we started this podcast and all we did was shit on WWE and we were all about AEW. And over the past 3 years, it has completely shifted. I'm not saying either one of us are out on AEW, but I think we're one of those people who have lost that feeling. And I was talking to you last night about it. And you told me to bring it up on the podcast today, so I'm going to, that I think there were things that I was excited about. I don't know what it is that they're doing differently. I don't know if it's that it's just a bigger roster and they're not showcasing as many people. But whatever it is, I agree with that statement. And they need to build some of these people. And I think that's it. I think that, like, when they first came in, like the, I'll give you the, the Jurassic Express, right? Is that what was their name? Why am I blanking? Yeah. Why does that find
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus?
Yeah, and Marco Stunt. Yeah. For some reason, like I turned it on, they had this cool entrance. They were different. Like they were, you turn it on, it was like a homegrown talent that you weren't used to. And I think sometimes maybe at this point, AEW is bringing in people from other places that are bigger stars. And I get why they're doing it, but I want to see them build some of those people like the MJFs, who is, you know, I think the bigger draw that they have. For me, that's the reason I would turn on AEW. And obviously he's injured or whatever's going on there. And then you got the, you know, Daniel Bryan's of the world, who again is a transplant from WWE. That's where he really built his name. And I think there needs to be that good balance. And you know, you got Darby Allin, and Darby Allin's great, but he's gonna be off TV for a little bit here coming up. So I don't know. That's just me. I don't know how you feel about it, Mikey. And I wish I could give you a better pinpointed answer, but I can't. And again, I'm not out on AEW. They've had streaks of being really good. They've been really good lately. I just want to see that consistency.
So part of me does agree with you that it did lose that feeling for quite a while. It felt like for maybe the last like year or so, it just didn't have the same feel that maybe it once did. And I think there was a lot of factors within that, but we don't need to get into all of it. But obviously just... I think Cody leaving, the whole Punk scenario, all I think they had a general lack of direction on like really what they wanted to do with that main event scene. You had MJF gone for like 6 months or whatever when he had the whole contract thing. There was a lot of like start and stops. So there wasn't. So I think you hit on the inconsistency at first. It was like that for a bit. And now they're trying to, I think, actively right that ship. And you can see it in like I was saying before, and sort of how they're presenting it and some of the stories that you're starting to see. And they're writing it on a couple of different levels. Like we were just talking about with the women's division. I think they are actively trying to make sure that this is a division that's getting showcased and not an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take time. You have to sort of build up cash with the crowd again. So what they just did last night was a big step in that direction. You're investing in the division. And I think if they see that, then they have a reason to also get invested. I know me as a fan, that's what I'm thinking. Something else that you mentioned about kind of restoring the feeling, right? I think that with AEW, something that they've, I think, largely struggled with was their ability to have like homegrown stars over time. Like you said, they sort of just like lost it and they were bringing in a lot of people. I think that they don't even know this yet, but I have this weird, maybe it's like a premonition thing, but I have a feeling that eventually Ring of Honor will become their version of an NXT type of territory for them, where it will be a developmental system that they can use to build up folks that are just coming in, that are like newer to pro wrestling, like these newer wrestlers. It also gives them exposure. So us as fans get to watch them sort of grow, just like with NXT, and you can get invested. And then when they eventually go to the main roster, when they go to Dynamite, they go to Collision, they go to Rampage, we have some familiarity with them. And now we have the ability to be invested in whatever story it is that they're going to be involved with. Yeah. So that's kind of my take on it, that, yeah, the feeling was lost, but it's coming back around. And I think they're trying to figure it out.
I think those are all really good points. You know, the other piece that I think we're not taking into consideration is that at the time AEW came in, we needed that other promotion because we hated what was going on at WWE. Like they would do all these things and all we would do is bitch and moan about it. But what has happened since then is they've put in a good product. They've given us what we wanted. They put in these great storylines. They've built stars. And I think that has almost taken away from AEW because it's like, oh, we're getting what we want with this, what we need. And And so like when they first came in, you could see like the effort these guys were putting in. They were showcasing wrestling, you know, it was called professional wrestling. Like you had these guys that weren't making it in WWE, and they had this kind of anti WWE feeling, like, and you could see the effort they were putting into it. Right. And I think some of that has gone away, and you lose that scrappy feeling. And I think that really does have a lot to do with it. But you know, besides the point, I want to say one other thing about AEW. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate this, and I get it. Tony Khan's a goofy guy, but I got to tell you, I truly appreciate the fact that he comes on the microphone. If you've never been to an AEW show, he comes out at the beginning of the show and at the end of the Dynamite show. And yeah, he might be goofy, he might be terrible on the mic.
Yeah,
but you know what? The guy almost was in tears. I don't know if you saw this, and we didn't have a chance to talk about it, but at the end of the show, he literally was tearing up because he said it was one of the best moments in AEW history, and he started to tear up. And then he went on a rampage about Time Cop, and I don't know, it got weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It got a little incoherent towards the end there.
I appreciate the fact that he's a fan of the sport, and he undertook this company, and I think I'll always have a little bit of respect for that, regardless of the product. And I do appreciate the fact that he comes out and you feel like he's kind of one of us. It's a little of a different feeling. And he does some things you don't love. Like, I'll give Eric Bischoff credit. He's like, you know, you can't tell people there's a surprise every show and then let them down. Like, because then you lose that luster. And it's true. It's like anytime he says it's a big surprise, first couple times you tune in and you're like, what is it? And then when they let you down with a, oh yeah, All In is going to be back in London in a year from now. Like it loses its luster. But it was fun. We had a really good time. I think it's great that we have this ability to have two promotions that are intriguing. And it was a good show. I mean, I was fine with it. You know, I was fine with it.
You and me both. I thought it was good. I like that Mercedes bookended the show. She started it with that killer promo and then came out and made the save for Willow and Rio when Julia Hart and Sky Blue came out and were attacking them. I like her finishing move. It's kind of cool. I don't know how she's going to be hitting it on a lot of people, so she definitely will have an alternative, I would imagine. But I'm excited to eventually see her and Willow tear it up again, because I think they're probably going to head towards that. I think that's where the smart money is. They might do some sort of like tag match or something like that, where it's like Willow and Mercedes versus Julia and Sky Blue. And to your point, I don't think this is a point where Mercedes is going to, her level is going to go down. I think that brings up the other three women involved.
Yeah.
Because again, you have a WrestleMania main eventer and that counts for something. Whether or not people in AEW have this tribalism or whatever, like we've discussed, that's something you can't take away. And so there's a certain like elevation of anybody who's going to get the rub from her. So, and I think she clearly wants to do that. Like whether it's selfish or not, who the hell cares? The bottom line is the women's division needs that and she's bringing it to them. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll tell you, the only other comment I'll make on the show is who was it, Kyle O'Reilly with the worst promo of the night, like it wasn't great. It just wasn't great. You said it best, exactly how I was feeling at the moment when it came on, and you were like, I don't like this.
I didn't like it at all. I don't want to bash the guy, but like I just didn't like it. It wasn't
a good promo.
Didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like that's just you and me talking. Like the way he was complaining. Yeah. I was like, there's people in the suite right now complaining the same way. Like you don't have a camera on them. So
yeah.
I don't want to get into a tangent. Do you got any final thoughts on the show before we wrap up?
No. I thought it was a great show. Glad that they were at the Garden. I hope they build on this momentum and keep going. I think Dynasty's coming up. I'm wondering you know, if we want to give a future preview here, the show or Dynasty has, there's been some rumbling. I've been reading online. There's a lot of colors in the Dynasty logo that are reminiscent of MJF, and maybe so hopefully he comes back. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. And it was a good time. Again, if you haven't had a chance, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube feed, check out our TikToks. You can see some of it. I'm posting a recap a little bit later on with some of the videos from the night. And we got a lot going on here. We got WrestleMania season coming up. Mikey Cash, I think Sarge wants to come on and give us a preview. I know he's going to WrestleMania both nights, so we'll probably get a good preview show with him, and hopefully we get a good recap show with him from live at the event. And you know, I learned something last night, and we'll have him touch on this when he comes on. But if you haven't had a chance, there's a blog up there I posted about my experience at WrestleMania 14, and Sarge had a really good experience at WrestleMania 14. I'm excited for him to come share that, because it was a cool story. It was a really cool story.
So we're looking forward to having him on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Got to get him back on, you know, but there's a lot going on in the wrestling world, and I know it's busy season here, so lots to be excited about.
That's right. Well, like we said, lots to be excited about, lots more coming your way, because we got big business. We got, it's WrestleMania season. We're going to have a lot for you guys coming down the pike. So be on the lookout on those feeds. Remember, keep liking and subscribing. We need to hit that triple digit mark just to make ourselves feel better. So thank you so much for watching today, and keep on strutting, jabronis.